When the world keeps telling you you're not enough the way you are, you feel like you've tried everything 100 times before. Listen closely and you'll hear a voice coming from inside, telling you how to love your body.
Hello and welcome to How to Love Your Body. Today, we are going to be listening to a reel that I came across on Instagram that starts off feeling like, oh, this is going to be cool. This is going to be intuitive eating. This is in line with our work. And it quickly takes a very diety detour. So we are going to play the reel audio. So it may be triggering. So if you do not want to listen to this episode or listen to the reel, that's fine. You could go forward a minute if you don't want to listen to her talking about kind of thoughts that are kind of diety, that's fine. Or this episode might not be for you, but if you are trying to determine like what's diety, what isn't, what's authentically intuitive eating and health at every size, and what is trying to be intuitive, but is just straight up diet culture, this is a great episode because you'll hear us discuss the nuances and why one thing is diety, one thing isn't. So right now we will play the reel for you. We won't say who made it because we don't want anyone piling on. It's just more this general concept because you see this in a lot of places where it's like, oh, I'm almost intuitive, but I really failed. So here it is.
If you've ever thought to yourself something like, I can't control myself around chocolate, I have some great news for you. If someone who was really sick sneezed on your bar of chocolate, you would probably be able to stop eating. So the real truth here is that you can control yourself around chocolate, cookies, whatever it is. And ultimately, all you need is a compelling enough thought to remind yourself that eating chocolate is not what you really want right now. So here are some examples of compelling thoughts. Number one, what I truly want right now is to stop eating. Number two, overeating in this way is actually not enjoyable for me. And number three, I will be proud if I stop eating right now. Let me know in the comments if this way of thinking is helpful.
Okay, so I'm sure many of you have spotted why this is problematic. But I found this and I just showed Lauren before we started recording and she's just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I feel like it was completely unhelpful. Especially because, I mean, so many different things work for so many different people. So maybe that advice works for her personally as a nutritionist. Like that's her own helpful rule, which is still diety and restrictive, but maybe she thinks that works for her. But like, don't send that to all the people who have an issue with food. Like that's just to me, it just was like, this is just covering up restriction.
Well, and I just don't see how that could work. Like, I just think of myself in 10 years of dieting, I'm about to do a binge, or I'm okay, I'm in that kind of effort mode where it's not necessarily the binge where it's like you have no control, but you're in that moment of like, oh, I ate some chocolate today, screw it, I'm just gonna keep eating. Like, okay, just think like, oh, I really don't want to eat this, and that's gonna prevent me from eating it. Maybe it'll delay it an hour and then I'll have two chocolate bars.
But isn't that what dieters already do? They don't want to eat anything.
Like this can only delay to me. This is not gonna quote unquote cure your overeating or feeling out of control.
This will create a really massive binge.
Yeah, this will fuel you later once you do give in or once you do, because it even puts judgment, right? It's like, oh, you can have chocolate, just don't eat too much. So it's like the second you eat what you feel is too much, now you're gone down this rabbit hole of like, ah, screw it, I'm going to eat all food and start again tomorrow. Like, I'm just boggled. And we're going to read some of the comments on this reel because I think they're all so interesting. Where, first of all, I didn't see this the first time I found it, but I saw this comment from Kristen Bell, the actress. She said, absolutely helpful, which is so disappointing because she's done posts before and said things before where I thought she was pretty body positive. Like after she had babies, she's like, I'm not going to spend my time trying to lose weight when I have these babies I want to spend time with and cool things like that. So I was just like, oh, that's awesome. And then here she is being like, oh, that's super helpful to be like a compelling enough thought. Like, oh, it's compelling to for me to want to stop eating this.
But that's if we could think ourselves thin, everybody would already been doing it. You know, like the reason we do what we do is to shift the mindset around everything. If it was just like, I just have to have the thought to just tell myself not to do it, wouldn't it just work? Because that's what we all did as dieters, like kind of had the willpower and the thought process, like, no, I do not eat cookies. I do not eat dessert. I do not eat all the things. Obviously, that's the thing that got us into the deepest restrict and binge cycle. So it's just, it's like she kind of fluffed it up in a way to make it sound like, oh, okay, I could just have, you know, the quote unquote, the right thought. And then all of a sudden, I won't want the chocolate. If I just pretend somebody was sneezing on it, then of course I wouldn't want a chocolate bar that somebody sneezed on. But I was kind of saying to Jenna, I don't think so.
I would have rinsed it off, probably.
I think there's a lot of people out there who would be like, oh, I don't care. I'm just like, okay, somebody sneezed on it. Like, maybe not in these COVID days. It might be a little different. But we kind of talked about all of our like behaviors back in the day. Like, we both have gone through the trash before to take out food. So I just don't think thinking the food is dirty or contaminated is like, I don't even think that's like a healthy way of thinking. It's not a healthy way of thinking. Like, I don't think if it worked for somebody, oh, yeah, now I'm thinking like, I want to eat contaminated food. I can control myself. Like, I don't think that's the way to go to heal yourself with food. It's like, what other thoughts can you have? And we have found thoughts such as, you can allow the chocolate. You can have the chocolate. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing bad with it. There's nothing even good. It's just neutral. You just want chocolate. So you listen to your body. And in the beginning as an intuitive eater, maybe you're eating a lot more chocolate because maybe that was one of the foods you really restricted. So you're going kind of the other way with it, but that's okay because that's part of the process. So we're like, yes, keep going, keep eating the chocolate, allow, allow, allow. And then once you kind of get to the place where we're like, wow, I can have chocolate in the house without like having this mental battle, you just know it's there. And then you've kind of relaxed around it and you're cool with it. You still eat it. And sometimes maybe you don't. Sometimes maybe you still eat it every day. I mean, I eat chocolate every day, honestly. And now you can eat it in a way potentially that just does feel good in your body. And maybe most of the time you eat it and it feels good in your body. And sometimes it's just a day where it tastes extra delicious and you're just like, I know this may not feel good, but I don't care. I'm allowed to have more if I want. And having that mindset, doesn't that just feel like warmer and more compassionate and kind? Like having the thought, oh, well, I'm just going to pretend somebody sneezed on it. Therefore, I have all the control not to eat it. Unhelpful.
Even her other compelling thought examples were like, what I really want is to stop eating this chocolate. Like, what? I had compelling thoughts when I was disordered of like, I want to look good in a bikini. I literally, this is so embarrassing, I wrote like a list of things, like motivational things, on a piece of paper and stuck it on my mirror in like high school. And I think one of the things I wrote was like hot tubs. Like, I wanted to look good in a bathing suit when I like hang out with friends. Like, those were compelling thoughts. Do you know how freaking messed up that was? Do you know how disordered I was? Like, okay, I had a lot of compelling thoughts on why I shouldn't eat and why I should go to the gym. Mm-hmm. That doesn't.
Had visuals. I mean, I've told this story probably a million times on our podcast. I pinned up the jeans I couldn't fit into onto my wall in college as like motivation. Every time I walked in the room, it was like, you do everything you can to fit back into these, and I'm gonna just like put it up as a shrine. If that isn't going to be that's compelling thoughts and visuals, like, and that was extremely horrible that I would do that. Not to shame myself, just thinking if somebody else did that, I would just be like, no, like you do not have to like live your whole life to try to squeeze back into these pants. Like you can just be in the body that you're in and, you know, all the things that we say. Mm-hmm. And that is extremely disordered for sure in my mind.
I agree. And so I want to share a few other comments that give some good commentary on it. So one person said, sounds like nothing tastes as good as skinny feels to me, which I totally agree. Like that's a compelling thought. Like, okay, I really want to look good. I don't really want this chocolate. Like she didn't have like fully weight-based compelling thoughts, but she may as well have. Like that's the thing. It's like just because you don't outwardly say it doesn't mean it's not there. So a similar thing is like the what I eat in a day posts. If any of those show like they start with like some really thin girl showing her stomach or somebody showing how fit they are and then they show what they eat in a day, even if they don't say here's what I eat to stay this thin, that's what they're portraying. So this is the same thing. It's like, oh, here's a compelling thought to not eat the chocolate. 99% of people don't want to eat the chocolate because they want to be thin. So I loved what that girl said. And then someone responded to it, like not understanding that this was like a negative comment. This person replied, this works for me when I adjust it to nothing tastes as good as confidence feels. What? So you're just replacing skinny with confidence. But it still means the same thing. It's like, why would not eating chocolate make you confident? Well, because you assume not eating chocolate is going to make you thin, and we live in a fatphobic world. Therefore, if you're thin, you're confident. Yeah. So
you can't be confident in any body size, which is,
or you can't be confident and eat chocolate, like because eating chocolate doesn't equal body size. Well, that's I know I, yeah, mm-hmm. But like if we go like a step further, it's like. One person's going to eat lots of chocolate and be in a thin body, and another person's going to eat a lot of chocolate and be in a fat body. It's like you're going to kind of be in the shape you're in. So I think that's so funny. And then here's a comment of why, like people love to think, no, this isn't about being skinny, because our culture really is like mainstream marketing and stuff is going away from like, no, this isn't about weight. This isn't about being thin. This isn't about diet culture. This isn't toxic. Trust me. So this person says, I think the idea here is that it's not about being skinny. It's about feeling like you have control over what and how much you eat. To what end? To be skinny? Like, to what mm-hmm. end are you wanting to control how much and what you eat? This says, this doesn't come off as diet advice to me. As much as something simple to try for people with a history of binge eating to try and help them regain some control around food. I don't even think it's meant to be don't eat any chocolate. I think it's more like you can actually have a healthy portion of dessert without eating yourself sick. So it's like what really bothers me about these types of things is now it's tricked this person into thinking, oh, if you have binge eating and you just want to allow some chocolate and to still feel good, you should just have these thoughts and convince yourself to not eat too much chocolate. And so now this person may, if they're a binge eater themselves, may be stuck in trying this for a very long time where they're like, why can't I do it? Why aren't these compelling thoughts stopping me from eating too much, quote unquote, too much? What's wrong with me? Why doesn't this work for me? Because this advice is like pseudo non-diet, but totally diety under the tiniest surface. But I just feel like these diet, non-diet messages trick people into trying things for way longer than they would if we had a very clear cut, this is diet, this is non-diet. And mm-hmm. people realizing, oh, the diet messaging doesn't work for me. I want to go try some non-diet messaging and see if that like affects how I think and how I act around food and my relationship with food. But then there's so much of this content that's like pseudo non-diet, very diety. And then it tricks people.
Mm-hmm. I really think it just comes down to everybody's different. And like I said, this advice could maybe naturally work for somebody just because I don't know.
No, I disagree. This is not, if you have a problem with food saying, no, I really don't eat chocolate.
Yeah. No, yeah. I know. Let me finish my thought before this is a non-diet podcast. So I'm not agreeing with this, that this is good information for people, but I'm saying some people may hear this and they're already like, I feel like this is diet information. So it may work for people who are already like, who already have restriction, and it kind of validates like, oh yes, this is what I do. This is how I keep my chocolate, you know, to a minimum, because they restrict sugar. So this really just works for people that are already doing it. This is not good advice for somebody who's trying to heal their relationship with food in their body. This is just straight up diet information. This is just as if we were looking at an Instagram that was for weight loss and people who follow it. Yes, this information sounds really helpful because it sounds like it's not like, okay, just eat this much chocolate and you will lose this much weight. It's like, oh, just think about it in this way. And then like, it's okay to restrict the chocolate because I'm saying it this way. But even just witnessing different people and different ways people eat and different thought processes, sometimes things that are like maybe look diety, or it just works for somebody else because that's just how they are. But for people, I like to say like us, because we know non-diet, we are all in the diet world. We struggled with eating. A lot of us probably struggled with restrict binge. So we know this advice is going to probably mess us up and bring us back into the binge cycle. But I was with some people over the weekend, and you know, a lot of different personalities, and a lot of different ways people eat. We had some vegans, we had all these things, and I was watching all of it, just, you know, not butting in, just observing, just because of the work that we do. And you know, some of them were saying things that I was like, wow, that okay, if that works for you, that's amazing. They seem to be doing really well. They love the way the body, you know, the food nourishes them and what they eat, and they like to make sure everything they put in their body is, and you know, they're saying the things like, they're saying things that maybe we would say like, it feels so good, and this is just, but you know, it sounds like, oh, these are the things I will not put in my body because they are quote unquote bad. So I'm like, okay, that works for them. That just works for them. That's their lifestyle. Okay, that's fine. But that's not going to work for everybody. So I'm not saying like, oh, that's a good way to live, or that's a bad way to live. I just think that people just live differently. And if it's working for you and it's not ruining you mentally, and you believe that what you're doing feels good to you, fine, go for it. But we see with the people we work with and the way we were from the past until now, that's not necessarily something that's going to work for the masses.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But even a step further is like, I think there's almost like, there's a before and an after person. It's not necessarily two types of people. Like, I would have thought what I was doing was working for me for 10 years. I didn't think it was taking over my mind. When you're in it, you don't know you're in it. So it's like, oh, that works for them. Well, they think it works for them. But then I feel like for every person, they either do it for their whole lives. If you're truly like so anal about your food that you like can never have sugar ever. And I just don't believe that those people are not secretly binging somewhere. Like, because if you are not eating any processed food ever, if you are not eating any sugar ever, I just have a very hard time believing that those people are totally honest about like what happens behind the scenes, moments of quote unquote weakness, struggles mentally, things like that. Just because I was in that for so long, and we've talked to so many hundreds of people mm-hmm. that were in it so long that at the time felt it was good. At yeah. the time felt it was working. At the time would have been like, you're lazy that you're not like me. Like, I was so high and mighty. I thought I had it figured out. So I feel like we're all the same. You're just either kind of before you've had that moment of like, oh wait, this shit maybe isn't working, or this isn't worth it, or this isn't healthy. And then you have the after of like, oh, I'm going to try to heal that. So it's almost yeah. this like, moment of like, oh wait, maybe I've gone a little bit too far down this path.
Yeah, of disorder. I think there's just like 1% of people that really weird shit quote unquote works for, yeah. and so everybody looks to that 1% like, oh, I should be vegan and never eat sugar mm-hmm. and go really, really, really natural, or I should be this diet because it works for them, or I should be, and we're really just looking at the top 1% who also has a naturally genetic that's their genetics too. It's, and of course somebody could be the outlier where it's like, no,
even then, like, I'm just, maybe that's harsh, but like, I just don't believe people. If someone's like, no, I never have sugar, I never have processed food, I only eat quote unquote whole foods, and I eat super healthy 100% of the time, and I never want anything, and I know I don't worry about it, I don't overthink about it, like, I just don't believe you.
Yeah.
Biology says that, like, your body, bodies can't do that with that much restriction.
Yeah. And I think, well, maybe it just has a lot of different other elements to how people are the way they are, because there could be, spiritual aspects or religious aspects or so many other things that kind of bring into play why people eat the way they eat. But again, that's more of the, like, 1% of people.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's not the right percentage, but I'm saying very small percentage of people do certain things that are very specific.
Yeah.
And maybe it honestly works for them. Maybe, I don't know, I'm not in their body, but 90%+ of the people, again, I don't know if this percentage is right. It just feels to me
given the vibe of most people.
Yeah. Most people are just generally okay to eat everything. But then we get stuck in the diet world and we're taught all these things like, don't do this, don't do that, try to lose weight. And then it totally messes you up, and it disconnects you from your body, because now you're not listening to your own signals. You're listening to this lady who's saying, just will your way out of eating the chocolate. Just think good thoughts and then you're not going to want it. And that's not, for most people, that's a very probably toxic, unhelpful way of healing your relationship with food. And even eating chocolate I want to say healthy way, as in just a good relationship with it,
mm-hmm.
regardless of how much you're eating it.
Yeah. Well, I definitely agree. I mean, I have celiac disease, so I don't eat gluten, but right. My mindset around food is so abundant, and I eat literally everything else, and I always eat to satisfaction, and I eat enough, and I'm privileged that I can buy the not the gluten-free versions of things. So I totally get that. Like, of course, yeah, if you're celiac and you don't eat gluten, that's possible, and you can have a healthy relationship with food.
Right.
But to be like, oh, I eat nothing bad, and just that diet culture mentality, and someone saying, no, it really works and I just feel amazing. I mean, that's fine. I don't really care what you do. Go do whatever you like, but I don't believe you. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Yeah. You don't need me to believe you. You just go do whatever you want.
I'm just glad I don't have to do that. Exactly. Like, it was really like, you know, just observing people. It's like, cool. I totally can be behind all that. I actually really like, yeah, sure. I like nourishing foods. I like vegan food. I like everything that this person was eating. We were eating it too, because that's what we were cooked for dinner, and I loved it. I would cook that for dinner too. And then I was also happy on the outside, where I'm like, and I can also go eat my chocolate, or I can also go eat this meat dish that was made, because I don't mind eating meat either. And it was kind of just nice to be like, yeah, I can get behind that. But for me personally, living in the abundance of, I literally can have whatever is being served. If pizza showed up, I would go all in for it. And it's just a different way of like, yes, maybe these little pieces can work, but if you just restrict to one way, that's when it kind of gets really, for me at least, it really messed me up. And so now having the no rules has made me feel in control of my food, just in, I feel more in control in a very, because you know, when you're restricting and binging feels very out of control. So I don't have to fall into that really intense cycle where you literally, your body will not allow you to stop, especially in a binge. And being able to have it all has led me to just like ebb and flow, which feels great. So anything that's kind of favoring restriction or cutting out a food group or saying, sure, you can have it, but just a little bit, it's not giving the person the bot, like, their own body autonomy and their own signals. Like, I think that's what you really have to go You have to go inward and ask yourself, what is it that my body wants? Or else every time it's going to get, you might not be listening to your body in a way that you actually want to be listening to your body.
Definitely. And here's a comment that's like somebody actually is on our way of thinking. She says, if you actually have issues with binge eating, imagining something gross about your food so that you stop eating it isn't going to heal your issue with foods. These comments are so sad. Even if you want some chocolate, eat it regularly so that isn't a scarcity food. So
yes, I like this person.
Yeah, she's like, other dietitians or nutritionists can provide much healthier advice for tackling overeating. And I agree. I don't think on any level this is healthy advice.
This is just the same as saying pour water on your food so you don't eat it. Like, Oh, just have a thought process that there's something wrong with your food. Like, that's just tell us to pour, like, I don't know, something gross all over your food so you don't. I know there were some girls in high school, I'd watch them, like, I wasn't in a problem yet, so I was like so floored. Like, when this girl, like, she just dumped water over her whole lunch, and I was like, oh, like, what is happening? And she's like, oh, I can't eat any more pizza. And I was so floored that she did that. And I swear, I think it was sitting in front of her too long that she still continued to eat it because it was still there. But it's like, she was trying to ruin. It's like, I'm telling you, like, nothing can, if somebody is in that really weird, and I don't, not weird, but just that cycle, that restrict binge, I don't know how, like, nothing really can be done. They will dig that out of the trash. They will do anything. So I think this was a really super disordered way of speaking to people. And Jenna said 20,000 people liked it. That's really sad.
Yeah. And says, this one says, this is a sad one, says, I completely agree. I do a weird thing. I hate the surfaces of restaurant tables. So if there's something I want to eat when we're out for dinner and it's not a good choice at the moment, I let it touch the table. My desire is gone. Weird, but handy. Oh my gosh, this is funny that you just said that. And then someone replied, love this. When I know I'm done eating, I'll pour water on my plate. LOL, then I have no choice to stop.
Oh my gosh.
And this is, are you sure you didn't read these beforehand?
And
I
then did
someone
not.
Else replies, this was a go-to in high school to lose weight.
Yes.
Maybe that's your friend.
Must be my friend.
Oh man. And then someone posts, me watching this on my way to buy some M&Ms after considering doing this or not for the past 3 hours. It's like, exactly. Should I? For 3 hours, like, just go get the freaking M&Ms, eat some, and move on with your day. Mm-hmm. And like, ugh. These are disordered. So if you want to.
I know. I was going to say, we need to do another trigger warning potentially.
Yeah. So I'm going to read a couple more that are disordered, but I just find it so intriguing that if you can. Now that you're learning, obviously you're listening to this podcast because you're doing non-diet work. So it's like, now that you see it, I do think kind of it's interesting to reflect on, like, oh my gosh, I used to think like that. Like that, now that I know what I know, I really see how that is not helpful. This person said, I decided to quit cold turkey on eating snacks, chocolate, and drinking lattes for 30 days. After that, I'll slowly introduce the goodies back into my life if I want to. So far, I'm on day 6. And I'm not craving as much as I did when I was eating it.
Well, that just sounds like somebody who's like, I'm going to lose the weight and then become an intuitive eater. We know that doesn't work either.
Like, 6 days, girl. Like, okay, talk to me in 5 years.
Of the 30-day things, it's like, what happens on day 31? Like, you're just all of a sudden, like, the most balanced person, like, after 30 days? Like, it, and the only reason we can kind of laugh and make fun of this, and I don't know if it sounds like we're making fun of it, it's because we did this.
Oh my gosh.
So it's not a judgment. It's almost like we're yelling at our own selves. Because I pretty much, everything I'm hearing, it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I did that before, or I thought that way. Or so it's like, and now we know, I want to say no better, but I don't want to make it like a better, worse situation. But now we know so many things.
Well, it kind of is. It's no better as in, like, no accurate scientific information about how food works, how biology works.
More educated. Works. Yes. Okay. Yeah, for sure. So, So no, this is not a place of judgment that we're coming from. It's just really like almost, a frustrating place where it's like, do you see all of those behaviors are actually making it worse when you think those behaviors are actually making it better?
And I
But if
think,
you didn't do those, you could actually heal and become normal with food.
I think that's so interesting because I think in so many fields, it's like you try things that don't work and okay, they don't help. But in the eating, I feel like what we're taught makes it worse. Like we're trying to make food better. We're trying to make our relationship with food better. Like this reel says, we're trying to not feel crazy around food. We're trying to not feel out of control around food. So let's do these things that are then going to make you feel more out of control around food. And I find that so interesting that what we're taught is the complete opposite of what is actually effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that lands. So that is exactly it. Like everything that I used to do that I don't do anymore is the thing I needed to be in this place where you can have it all and still not feel like you're in this really obsessive place with food. Like the more food I ate, the more I allowed myself to eat, the less obsessed I became. Like that's that's crazy. Like my high school self would be like, no, that's insane. You have to restrict or else you'll be so obsessed with food, you'll never stop eating it. And it's like, actually, the more you eat the food and the more you're okay with eating the food and the more your thoughts are also okay with eating the food, it actually becomes just food and still pleasurable and still very fun and exciting and not trying to take the joy out of food. It's more of just like trying to put the joy actually back in food. I feel a lot more joyful eating now than I did when I was a dieter, for sure.
Right. And it is that dichotomy of like, it is more generally enjoyable now because whatever I eat doesn't come with a plate of guilt and shame and worry and, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that. And yeah.
And like, when am I going to get to eat this again?
Exactly. Like, so it's like, it almost like the food tasted better before because it was so deprived that anything that tasted good tasted like freaking gold.
Yeah.
Like, so it did gave you higher highs when dieting, but such lower lows. Whereas intuitive eating and genuinely healing your relationship with food is not going to feel high. You're just going to feel like whatever. And that's kind of the point is food, body image, exercise should be like an even keeled, chill thing, like drinking water, like going to the bathroom, like showering. It should be like, oh, it's something I do. It's part of my life. A nice hot shower feels great, but you don't feel like I'm addicted to it. And this is such a high, like it's just an enjoyable thing. Well, same with food. It's like, oh, this is a lovely dinner. Me and my husband and our kids went and got Mexican food last night. Kids eat free on Mondays. And,
yeah.
And so we went. And funny enough, I actually got the salad because it comes with rice and beans and it's actually like a whole meal. It's not really I don't know why they even call it a salad, but it's so good. And I brought lots of leftovers home and eating it was enjoyable, but I would have enjoyed whatever we cook at home. I would have enjoyed going to a fancier restaurant. I would have enjoyed ordering a pizza. I would have enjoyed, you know, salmon and broccoli and rice. Like, I just enjoy eating food when I'm hungry because it tastes good. And 99% of the time I'm eating something that I do enjoy the taste of and that feels good. But I just find it interesting that like that high and low of dieting and of that restriction is going to give you a high that it is hard to contend with. It's like, oh, but this feels so good, but also so bad. Whereas non-dieting, it just kind of feels like fine. It's like, whatever.
Well, anything that we're lacking, the thing that we are lacking when we get it will feel like a high no matter what it is, even if it's like out of your control. So when you were talking about the hot shower, like, yeah, it's great, but like we're not obsessed with it. But imagine if you were like on a camping trip for a week and there was no shower and you were so dirty because you were just, and then you get to that hot, warm shower finally after a week. It's going to feel like the biggest high of your life. And then you'll come down because you'll have the shower available because you're not on that camping trip anymore. Or even having in this past week, our refrigerator just completely, like we've had it for a really long time. So it completely just died like overnight. All of our food went bad. I feel very bad. We had to like get rid of a lot of food. We saved what we could, but you know, the freezer gone, refrigerator gone, everything had to go. And then we didn't have a refrigerator for a while. I mean, not too long, like, I don't know, less than a week. And not having the refrigerator makes you realize how amazing it is to have a refrigerator. And so it's like when we finally have it back now, and it feels very like, I don't know.
Ooh, we're like, so fancy. We have a refrigerator.
I notice it so much more now. I'm like, ooh, I can go in the fridge and go get my cream. I don't have to be like, well, we don't have anything cold. So, or, oh, I can finally have that breakfast that I need because I can have ice with it. Like, whatever. So, you know, and now we'll come down and we'll realize like, oh, the fridge is normal. So it's really anything. Do you see where lack creates? And I'm not saying like
they're really good analogies.
Yeah, I'm not saying being excited about a shower or a refrigerator is. It's just more of like the lacking made it more. Like, oh, this is so exciting, and that's exactly what it does for food. So when we have the refrigerator and we have the shower, it's still enjoyable. Still enjoy the refrigerator. Still enjoy the shower. Very much so, but it's just there now. And yeah, that's what we want to do with food.
That's the definition of habituation. Yeah. And that is what happens with intuitive eating, just like at our houses. Like right now, I think I have 4 bags of chips in the pantry. I have 2 kinds of chocolate in the freezer just because I like it cold and crispy. Mm-hmm. I have like my leftovers from our Mexican food yesterday. I have so much food in this house. And this morning I had my toast and coffee for breakfast. Like, I don't need to eat these foods all the time because I am habituated to them. They're just here. Same as I don't need to have a shower all the time because I'm privileged enough to have access to a shower when I want it. I don't need, like, and that's what's so amazing is that when you really get that in your mind of like, oh, I see how that works for other things. Even if I go on vacation too long, I'm like, I want to get back to like work and do something productive. Like, I'm feeling bored and useless. Like, but then you work all the time and you're like, oh, I'm so exhausted. I need a
vacation.
So it's like that happens with everything in your life. So if you now put that truth onto food, I just feel like you can really like crack the code of how you cannot feel out of control around food without using these willpower, quote unquote, compelling thoughts that are not going to work for anyone. So before, when you're like, oh yeah, it might work for dieters, it's not going to work for dieters. It might sound good to dieters, but it's not going to work.
It'll work for the person who's probably teaching it.
But I don't even believe it works for them. You're telling me you are so miraculous that you can just say, I don't want to eat this chocolate, and you're never going to binge. You don't have disordered eating. You're not messed up with food. I tried that.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
I mean, I would like to say I don't believe it, but I do believe there could be a 1% of people who, like, because I've when I was very much in the diety world and doing a lot of like health coaching and stuff like that, I did have friends who I honestly think they will be like this for the rest of their life. And I do think it's like, that's extreme, but their bodies are already genetically built to get, like, guys that I've been friends with, a friend that I was thinking of, like, yeah. He was very much, he did get to eat a lot because he went to the gym and but he did not eat a lot of sugar. And if he had sweets, like, yes, he would give himself, it was more of like the cheat day thing, but there wasn't a restrict binge cycle. But I do believe it was obsessive, you know, very body focused, like, oh, the abs and the muscles and all that stuff. And I do believe this person will probably be like this forever. I do think he still does and go, he love, he, like, I do believe he'll go eat ice cream and all that stuff, but he's not binging and it just works for him. But if he works with people are probably most likely not going to be him. Mm-hmm. So I do think it works for him, but he's still obsessive with.
Yeah. So it's like, what does works mean? I guess we need to talk about is like, okay, it works for you, but now this is your life. And that's his job.
Right.
Like, so
exactly. But those are the people we're literally looking up to teach us. And it's like, that's your job. That's your livelihood. And that's technically their passion too. I think, I do think a small percentage of people are very passionate about food and body. And of course, we could probably.
Well, I was very passionate, but that didn't. For 10 years, I was very passionate.
But I don't think that you were like, you know, a full-on fitness instructor or building a business around, like, I know, like, whatever, you got into the little thingy. But it's like, it still is like, we are comparing ourselves to people who potentially are just like this because they grew up with this passion. And it, yes, to us, it's very obsessive. But I think we got to check in on the comparison and who are you learning from.
Right.
Like their bodies might just be like that already. They eat clean, you know, quote unquote clean. Their bodies are already pretty genetically thinner, more muscular. They go to the gym, lift some weights, eat these foods, sometimes get in some desserts because they allow their cheat day and they're not super like disordered eating. They're just more like their whole world is just built off of food and body,
which is disordered.
Yeah, in our mind, it's extremely disorder.
I mean, I think clinically it would be. Like, if your life revolves around looking a certain way, that is not healthy.
Right, and then all of us who wanted to be dieters were learning from them. Mm. And 99% of the people are not going to be hitting the gym as much as they go to, and they're not going to be meal prepping the way they meal prep. It's not their whole life. They probably have kids and a 9-to-5 job and a million other things, and like they cannot dedicate their whole life to this. So that's just something to really check in. Like, who, even this person with the reel, her job is, she's not a non-diet nutritionist, she's a nutritionist. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming nutritionists who do not have the intuitive eating approach are teaching you diets all day long, mm-hmm. and teaching you how to restrict food, because nutritionists teach, I don't
That's
know
what if they were taught. So it's always crazy. It's like there's never really one person to blame. It's like,
no, well, she was taught that.
Yeah, she was taught from her schooling program, who the person who created that schooling program was also taught that 40 mm-hmm. years ago. And it's like, so there is that kind of, like I said, before and after. There is a moment where like that cycle does stop. Like, so many families are like, yeah, I learned this from my mom. And now like my mom took me to Weight Watchers when I was 12. And now I'm learning how to be healthy with food so that my daughter doesn't have to experience that. Mm-hmm. So there really is like generational cutoffs of like,
it's a generational pattern.
Yeah.
From the beginning of time.
It's all wild. And so that was just today we wanted to commentary on this kind of pseudo diet, non-diet messaging, how important it is to be super, super clear about what is diet messaging and what can you leave behind. And I think a lot of people, particularly in the beginning of this journey, were like, ooh, wishful thinking, like, ooh, that's non-diet, right? Like, because it's not about my weight. It's just about feeling good. So I can just use these thoughts and eat less, right? But that's, of course, if you dive under that thinking, it's like, oh yeah, I want to lose weight, or I want to stay thin, or I don't want to gain weight. So we just always want to be crystal clear on like, what is this messaging saying? Why is it saying that? Is it kind of tricky and nuanced, just like Noom that we talk about? They're very like, it's psychology. It's about behavior. It's not a diet. It's like, it's a straight up diet. It's counting calories. It's classifying foods as good and bad. Period. It's a diet. You can't add fluff on top of it and then call it not a diet.
So, and if you get a little excited, like let's say you saw this reel and it gives you a little excitement, like, oh, this seems like good information, or I'm going to try this. Like, and there's like that a little bit of, it gets you a little high, like, oh, maybe this is the thing that will help me lose weight. If you hear yourself saying that, that could just be that little red flag or that little signal that it's like, okay, what are you getting excited about right now? Why do you want to try this technique? When it has to do with changing your body or losing weight, that's probably it's gonna backfire. Right. And we're not saying like, everybody deserves to feel whatever they want to feel in their body.
Do whatever the hell you want. But if you're here, you're probably trying to learn this work. So we're just telling you how to do that.
Right. Exactly. So continue to do whatever you want to do. I do feel like they do want to feel good in their body most of the time. And like we said, there's multiple times where we're like, oh, I'm really full. I don't feel my best, but that's okay. So we're not trying to feel good in our body 100% of the time. Maybe a good amount of time you feel good in your body. So I would say, if the information kind of sparks you to a point where it gives like a little bit of the jolt, like it really is kind of like a drug. Like the information or this new technique
is the answer.
This is how I'm going to stop eating so much chocolate, and now I'm going to lose some weight probably because just like eating less, that's weight loss. Just pay attention and you still get to do whatever you want. If you tried it out and it completely backfired,
that makes sense.
That is just information for you. Like, oh, maybe that information is not for me, and you move on.
Yeah.
It's really assessing yourself.
It is. And you got to be real, real with yourself because, like that one comment said, like, oh, well, that works for me. If I say nothing tastes as good as confidence feels. Just because you replace the word skinny with confidence doesn't mean you mean skinny. Doesn't mean you don't still mean weight loss. So be really real with your thoughts. Are you trying to trick yourself? You're like, ooh, if I just don't think about my weight and just do things that hopefully will make me lose weight, but I'll call it confidence, like that means it's non-diet. It's like, no, you really got to get radical with your thinking to become non-diet, to repair your relationship with food, to find that peace, to practice that habituation. And it's kind of sucky because it is true. The beginning of this work doesn't sound so good. It's like, oh, you feel crazy around chocolate? Okay, get lots of chocolate in your house and eat it. Like, that's not give you the high. That gives you the like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. So,
Probably some fear.
unfortunately, the initial parts of intuitive eating likely aren't going to sound like, oh, that's the answer. Yay, I'm so excited. But if you are desiring that long-term result of like feeling at peace with food, being able to have food around and being chill with it, finding kind of that balance, quote unquote balance in your life where, yeah, you can eat all the things, it's no big deal. Your body finding a nice steady spot to land. If that all sounds appealing, then it's like you just need to learn to push through a bit of that fear and that resistance and take the steps to move forward to get there. So it's a bit of a like, if the long-term goal sounds exciting, you're in the right spot. If the first initial little step sounds exciting, it's probably diet because diet is instant. Diet is give me this now and I'm going to have instant results. Non-diet is like, okay, let's take a good amount of time to repair your relationship with food so that in the future and then for the rest of your life, you don't have to deal with this anymore. It's a long-term journey. One little tip or tool isn't going to like catapult you into food freedom.
Yeah, and anything that seems like a quick fix, like, oh, just do this one thing, and now chocolate's gonna, now you're just gonna be able to eat a little bit of chocolate with this quick fix. We all know the quick fix doesn't work, even though we desperately wish it did. So I would just really, it's constantly checking in and just reminder, you never, sometimes it may sound like you never have to put anything in your body that you don't want to put in. It's not like, well, I'm intuitive eating, so therefore I am forced to eat everything, and I have these rules now. It's not a rule. It's still, you still have the choice and the body autonomy. It's what are your thoughts and how do you feel and what is it that you want? And if it's like, I need to eat the chocolate, then go for it. But nobody says, in order to heal, you must eat X amount of chocolate a week. There really is still no rules. So it, I think sometimes it could scare people off the beginning phase where it's like no boundaries with food really. Just like allow yourself because that's you got to get into that mindset that there is abundance. It's not scarce anymore. But I still think like people think that then they don't have a choice about what goes in their body. So just please know that you still get to have choice of what you choose to put in your body. It's not a rule, which I think
Definitely.
is very important because I always say when people talk to me, yeah, I want to feel good in my body too. Like I want to choose that as well. So if you get to choose what however you want to feel too, and if and whatever it is, then you get to do that.
Yeah, and that can be a part of intuitive eating. That is a part of intuitive eating and non-diet work is feeling good, of course. So it just might look a lot different. So all that being said, we'd love to share with you our free separating weight and wellness workbook. I think this might give you a bit more a glimpse into, well, what is wellness? What is weight? How can we separate those so that I can still focus on health, focus on feeling good in my body, focus on eating foods in a way that feels good? Because that's kind of what this reel is targeting. That's what they're trying to achieve. They're just going about it in a real diety way. So if you want to do all that work in a more authentic non-diet way, you can grab our Separating Weight and Wellness workbook at thebodylovesociety.com/workbook. And you can grab that for free. It'll just come in your inbox. And you can do some activities that can kind of help your mindset begin shifting from like, oh, yeah, just try to eat less food, just try to eat less food too. Like, oh, how do I actually focus on genuine wellness without it being about my weight and trying to control that all the time? And how can I pursue feeling good in my body in an authentic, healthy way?
And that just feels so good. It feels like a warm hug when we talk about food and body in this sense. It just is like it's like energizing, and you take a deep breath and it's like, yes, Yes. All the other stuff, it's like, ooh, like when Jenna was showing me that reel, I was like, ooh, like I was like cringing and just like shaking my head. Like your body knows, like right. Your body reacts to it. And yeah, I'm just appreciate this non-diet world. I really do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is true. Yeah. Our body kind of feels constricted when you talk about like restriction and rules and okay, just try to not eat by doing this. It does kind of give you that kind of tense feeling.
Yeah. You like get this face like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good little listen to your body, right? Like, does mm-hmm. that sound like, oh, now I got to hold tight. I got to use my willpower. I got to hold on and tense up to make this work. Then it's probably not non-diet. So that's mm-hmm. a great little tip on our way out.
Little nugget. All right. Well, that is all for today. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Music for How to Love Your Body is by Grace Harabi. You can find her at kasadiband.com.
If you like the How to Love Your Body podcast, please rate and review it. It really helps a lot and gets the undiet message out to more people. Thanks. Bye.